ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। सो टुडे वी विल स्टार्ट द फर्स्ट shower of Madhurya Kadambini. Madhurya means sweet or nectarian and Kadambini means a cloud bank. So this book is titled Madhurya Kadambini or a cloud bank of nectar by Srila Vishwanathacharya Thakur. This is first in the series of three books that he wrote called the Bhakti Trilogy. The first being Madhurya Kadambini, the second is Ragavartma Chandrika, and the third is, anyone remembers what is the third? One more book. I'm forgetting its name. Folio mein hai kya? The Bhakti. अच्छा आई थिंक इसमें है राइटिंग्स ऑफ पास्ट आचार्यस अदर आचार्यस सॉरी माधुर्य कादंबिनी राघवर्त्म चंद्रिका एंड इज इट हरिभक्त कल्प नहीं श्री भागवतामृत कण आई थिंक दट इज दी थर्ड वन वन टू थ्री या आई थिंक दिस इज द थर्ड वन श्री भागवतामृत कण ए ड्रॉप ऑफ नेक्टर फ्रॉम द ब्यूटिफुल भागवतम भागवत अमृत कण ये भी पढ़ना चाहिए. सो आफ्टर माधुरी कादंबिनी वी विल डू राघवर्त्म चंद्रिका एंड देन वी विल डू राघव भागवतामृत कण. Okay, anyway, so this book, we will first try to understand what is this cloud bank of nectar that Srila Vishwanathacharya Thakur is mentioning. So anyway, just like a cloud bank contains a lot of water and it goes here and there to shower some rain, so this cloud bank of nectar has 8 showers. So each chapter is called a shower. So the first shower talks about the super excellence of Bhakti Devi. The second shower talks about Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha and Bhajana Kriya. The third shower talks about Anarthana Vritti. The fourth shower talks about Nishta. Fifth about Ruchi. Sixth about Asakti. Seventh about Bhava. And eighth about Prema. So basically this book is a is an elaboration of two verses from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Adav Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangata Bhajana Kriyato Anarthana Vritti Syat तो निष्ठा तथा रुचिस तथा शक्तिस देन भावा एंड प्रेम. सो दोस टू वर्सेस विच टॉक अबाउट दी स्टेजेस ऑफ प्रोग्रेस इन डिवोशनल सर्विस दी फ्रॉम श्रद्धा टू प्रेम दोस टू वर्सेस दिस होल बुक इज एन एलैबोरेशन ऑन दोस 8 वर्सेस बिकॉज भक्ति रसाम सिंधु इन इटसेल्फ डस नॉट क्लियरली एक्सप्लेन the other stages except bhava and prema it explains in detail. Sadhana bhakti it describes, but within sadhana the internal divisions of you know anishtita bhajana kriya, bhajana kriya, anarthana vritti, nishta, ruchi, those stages Bhakti Rasam Sindhu does not seem to go in much detail because the purpose of the book is bhakti rasa and not bhakti itself. So the bhakti part is described in quite detail, but not in so much detail. So wherever it's not described in so much detail, acharyas like Vishnachakaya Thakur throw some light on these stages. So this is one very vital book which actually throws light about these stages, which gives tremendous amount of clarity in terms of self-evaluation. What are we going through? Where are we heading? What are the symptoms? What are the milestones that we will actually be crossing? So these questions are very adeptly addressed in this book actually. Very powerful book, which clarifies a lot of fundamental details and about the process of devotional service. So we will start today's discussion in trying to understand what exactly is Srila Vishnachakaya Thakur addressing here to be the cloud bank of nectar. What is that cloud bank of nectar? Madhav Murari Guru, what do you think? What is the cloud bank of nectar that he is referring to here? The realizations that one gets in the process of bhakti. Okay, that's your guess. What is you have seen, if you remember, you can share. What is the cloud bank of nectar? Prabhu Shri Chaitanya Kripa. The mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the cloud bank of nectar. So we will chant this verse. Of course, this is a prose book, so we will not be going through the Sanskrit. It's written in Sanskrit. So we will not be going through the Sanskrit. But certain things which he has written in poetry form, I mean, it's practically only the Mangalacharan which is written in poetry form. So two verses of Mangalacharan, only that, those verses we will see. Rest prose, we will just read the prose in English, translation, prose translation in English. So we'll chant this verse. Hridva prenava bhakti shashya vitate sanjeevani swagama rambe kamata partudahadamani vishvapagollasini duran me marushakinopi sarasi bhavaya bhuyat prabhu Shri Chaitanya Kripa Nirankusha Maha Madhurya Kadambini. He says, Prabhu Shri Chaitanya Kripa, the mercy of Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nirankusha Maha Madhurya Kadambini. Ankusha means the elephant goad, which is used to control the elephant. Nirankusha means uncontrollable or unfettered. Maha means great. Madhurya is nectarian. Kadambini is cloud bank. So the mercy of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is compared to an uncontrollable cloud bank of exquisitely sweet nectar. Okay. So what about that cloud bank? Swa-agama arambe. Swa-agama arambe means you can't do anything. You didn't do anything to deserve it. It came on its own. Swa-agama arambe. And when it appears, what happens? Sanjeevani. It rejuvenates. What does it rejuvenate? Nava-bhakti-shashya-vitatehe. The grains of ninefold bhakti. The grains of ninefold bhakti are fully rejuvenated by the sudden appearance of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, which is complete. Shashya is grains. Nava bhakti shashya vitatehi. Vitatehi means it. Huh? Okay, I am not very sure about the exact meaning. And where are these grains sown? Hridvapre, in the field of the heart. So the field is the heart, the seeds are the ninefold process of bhakti, and that which acts as the manure for these seeds is the mercy showers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So first is it, the first effect that it has is that it rejuvenates the grains of the ninefold bhakti within the heart. Second is kama tapartudaha damani. It extinguishes the burning summer heat of lust. Lust here means material desires. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, one gains access to the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the material desires within the heart become pacified. And third is Vishwa Apaga Ullasini. Ullasini means it bestows great happiness to Vishwa Apaga. Apa means water, Ga means moving water. So Apaga means a flowing river. Vishwa means this universe filled with living entities, which are compared to a flowing river. Ullasini, it bestows great happiness or rapture to the universal river of living entities who are flowing from one body to another body just like a river. Punarapi Jananam. So these are the three benefits of Sri Chaitanya, Prabhu Sri Chaitanya Kripa. First is Sanjeevani. It gives life to or rejuvenates the Nava Bhakti Shashya Vitate. The ninefold seeds of devotional service which are sown in the field of the heart. Hridvapre. That is the first benefit. Second benefit is Kama Tapartudaha Damani. It extinguishes the burning forest fire of lust. Summer heat of lust. Vishwa Apaga Ullasini. And it bestows happiness to all the living entities of this world. Then he says, Me Marushakinaha. Maru is desert. Shakinaha is a tree. Dried up tree. Api. Even though I am a dried up tree in a desert, Duran, at least from far off, Sarasi Bhavaya Bhuyat, may those clouds of Lord's mercy give satisfaction and pleasure to me. Even though I am a dried up tree in the desert, just on the verge of death, still a few drops from that nectarian cloud bank, from the cloud bank of nectar, when it touches me, I can get great satisfaction and pleasure. Like that, Srila Vishnachakali Thakur is glorifying the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by comparing it to a cloud bank of nectar. Okay. Can you recollect? English or Sanskrit, whatever you can recollect, you recollect.
So, the mercy is the nectar. The mercy.
Prabhu Shri Chaitanya Kripa.
And this mercy is actually the mercy of extinguishing of the...
Mercy is compared to what?
It is compared to the grains that are provided.
Nirankusha Maha Madhurya Kadambini. Uncontrollable cloud bank of nectar. Which is going to have cloud bursts here and there, showering the nectarian rain. So what does that nectarian rain, what effect does it have on this world? What is the use of that nectar showers? Three benefits.
Sanjeevani,
it fully rejuvenates. Nava Bhakti Shashya Vidatehe. Hridvapre, which are sown in the heart. సెకండ్ బెనిఫిట్ కామ తపర్తుదాహ దమని. బ్లెస్ విశ్వ ఆపగ ఉల్లాసిని. దీస్ ఆర్ ద త్రీ బెనిఫిట్స్ ఆఫ్ దట్ షవర్ ఆఫ్ చైతన్య మహాప్రభుస్ మర్సీ. ఓకే, దెన్ వాట్ డస్ హీ సే? దూరాన్ మే, అండ్ హూ ఆమ్ ఐ? ఐఎమ్ అ డ్రైడ్ అప్ ట్రీ ఇన్ ద డెసర్ట్. మరు షాకినోపి దూరాన్ మే వాట్ డస్ హీ సే? సరసి భావాయ భూయాత్. మే ఐ గెట్ అట్ ఫ్యూ డ్రాప్స్ ఆఫ్ ద నెక్టర్ సో దట్ ఐ కెన్ గెట్ గ్రేట్ సాటిస్ఫాక్షన్ అండ్ ప్లెజర్ లైక్ దట్ జిర్వా మరు ప్రాంగణి లైక్ దట్. సో లైక్ దట్ హీ బిసీచెస్ ఆర్ హీ ఇస్ బెగింగ్ ఫర్ ద మర్సీ ఆఫ్ చైతన్య మహాప్రభుస్ మర్సీ టు ఫాల్ ఆన్ హిమ్. అండ్ దెన్ ఇన్ ద నెక్స్ట్ వర్స్, a very beautiful verse, he glorifies Rupa Goswami, because the whole book is based on those two verses from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And he gives a very interesting glorification of Rupa Goswami, one of my favorite verses. He says, bhakti purvai shritatam tu rasam pashyetya tattadihi తం నౌమి సతతం రూప నామ ప్రియజనం హరే. హి సేస్ పూర్వైహి తాం భక్తిహి శ్రుత. ఈవెన్ దో దర్ హ్యావ్ బీన్ మెనీ గ్రేట్ ఆచార్యస్ ఆర్ డివోటీస్ హూ హ్యావ్ ప్రాక్టీస్డ్ భక్తి ఇన్ ది పాస్ట్, తం సతతం నౌమి, మై కంటిన్యువల్ ఒబేసెన్సెస్ ఈస్ టు that personality. Who is that personality? Rupa Nama Harehe Priyajanam, to that Srila Rupa Goswami who is very dear to the Supreme Personality of God. Even though many people have practiced bhakti, my continual obeisances is specially to Rupa Goswami. Why? Yad Attadihi, because by his mercy the whole humanity has received the intelligence rasam pashyed, to see all the rasas which are revealed by bhakti. People practiced bhakti, but Rupa Goswami gave them the eyes to see the nectarian mellows of rasa by compiling Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Prior to Rupa Goswami, a systematic understanding of this rasa was not, at least it was not accessible to common men are regular devotees. He systematized this whole concept of rasa in a very, very scientific presentation. Well, such exhaustive presentation. And just for Madhurya Rasa, he compiled one full book, Ujjvala Neelamani. So, this was unprecedented. We don't have these kind of, there is no bhakti shastra prior to Rupa Goswami which describes the spiritual rasas in such great detail, actually, in a systematic way. Of course, we do have literatures like Gita Govinda, things like that, which were compiled prior to Rupa Goswami, but in such a systematic way, because they were natural outpourings from the heart of a person who was experiencing it, but in an intelligible scientific way, it has never been presented. The one literature that comes really close to that is Bharat Muni's Natya Shastra. So Bharat Muni's Natya Shastra, he talks about in general material emotions. And there is a very close resemblance of spiritual emotions to material emotions in terms of the external way in which they manifest. The internal impetus is totally different, but the external manifestation, there is there is a lot of things which can be compared. So Rupa Goswami used Bharat Muni's Natya Shastra as the template
to explain
Bhakti Rasa. Exhaustively quoting from various literatures to substantiate the various points that he makes. Such an exhaustive presentation actually, explaining the science in great detail. And on top of that, commentaries by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Jiva Goswami.
Explanations of
Bhakti Rasa. See, bhakti is one thing, but when that bhakti reaches the stage of prema, the various ways in which that manifests in the five primary rasas, seven secondary rasas, compatible rasas, incompatible rasas, components of those rasa. So what constitutes? Just like you take an atom, it's not just an atom. Inside that you have protons, neutrons, electrons, neutrinos, and so on, mesons, whatever. So, you know, what are the raw materials? What are the nuts and bolts of rasa? What is that rasa made of? What inspires it? What sustains it? What are the external manifestations of it? How does that manifestation of rasa affect the prana? How does it affect the mind? How does it affect the intelligence? When it affects the intelligence, how does it, externally manifest? And then when the rasa disturbs the vata, the air element, then how does that manifest? When it affects the fire element, how does it externally manifest in the form of the Ashtasattvika Vikara? Very, you can't imagine. You know, the whole science, nothing happens. How is it happening in the body, both gross and subtle? I mean, such a scientific presentation actually. We can't relate to it because we don't read beyond the 19th chapter. But those who have read Chaitanya Charitamrita, fairly good insights are given in Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you see. But generally, we generally skim through those sections also. But ultimately, if you see, Rupa Goswami compiled Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the first 19 chapters are the eastern section of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, for the sole purpose of equipping that person to access the real nectar that he wanted to give, which was from the 20th chapter onwards. The rest of it. So therefore, it's not that we are not supposed to read beyond 19 chapters. Actually, if we read only till 19 chapters, then it actually completely defeats the purpose of Rupa Goswami compiling the whole Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Because he didn't compile Bhakti Amrita Sindhu. He wrote Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu. Because he wanted to explain the science of rasa. And that is the reason. Otherwise, there were books which spoke about bhakti, but there were hardly any book which systematically presented the science of Bhakti Rasa. Therefore, Rupa Goswami is called Bhakti Rasacharya. And our Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur very aptly glorifies Rupa Goswami by telling, till now people practiced bhakti, people perfected bhakti, but Rupa Goswami gave everyone the eyes to see the signs of rasa. If Rupa Goswami would not have given, a person would have to wait till he reached the stage of bhava or prema to actually get a glimpse of what an exalted devotee is going through. Vaishnavera kriya mudra vigyehana bujaya. But Rupa Goswami, to some extent, gave that insight even to a sincere practicing sadhaka by explaining the science of Bhakti Rasa. So when we read the at least the components of Bhakti Rasa, Vibhav, Anubhav, Sattvika Bhav, Sanchari Bhav, and Sthayi Bhav, these five components, if you understand it great in detail, which constitutes the second part, eastern southern part of Bhakti Rasa Sindhu, it's really gives us a whole different paradigm to look at the external behavior of perfected Vaishnavas. How is it that sometimes they become angry? How is it that sometimes they become lusty seemingly? How is it that sometimes they become envious? How is it that sometimes they become seemingly competitive, competing? What is it that is inspiring such seemingly material emotions? So when you talk, when you try to understand vibhav, within which you talk about uddipan and ashraya alambana and vishaya alambana, what is it that inspires and triggers off that rasa, and how transient emotions called sanchari bhavas manifest, they come and enhance the whole thing, enhance the whole experience of that rasa and then pass. You understand, wow, actually from a material point of view, I cannot judge these things. So actually, the adhikar to read Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is, one must have faith in the practice of pure devotional service. So what does that faith mean? Faith means four things. One is, these are the people with whom I want to associate with Vaishnavas. Faith in that. These are the books which can act as the torchlight for my life. Bhakti Shastras. This parampara is leading me in the right direction. And fourth, this process of bhakti is what I should be practicing to perfect my life. If one develops faith in these four things, then the book Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is for that person. But once when one has been fairly regularly practicing the Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, then one can start trying to understand the later sections also. They are not extremely esoteric. Any faith. Yeah, that's why Krishna talks about three kinds of people. Yesterday also we were discussing. Agyascha ashraddadanascha samshayatma vinashyati. Nayam lokostinaparo nasukam samshayatmana. There are three categories of people. Agya. Agya means those who don't know anything about spirituality. Ashraddadana. Ashraddadana means those who may have that sort of knowledge, but knowledge without faith. Those are the academicians.
They have access to the books because they know the language.
Correct. Like for example, I give the example of my aunt. She is MA in Sanskrit, MA in philosophy. Okay. Very. So that is Ashraddadana. So, but when it comes to practice, he says, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram. So that is Shraddha. So when that Shraddha is not there, then practical applications of those literatures cannot be digested and So one will read it for some mundane purpose of getting a certificate or passing the exam. So that is the second category. And then samshayatma. Samshayatma are those who, because of a bad experience during their practice of bhakti, are very doubtful and cynical and skeptical about their own progress, about the process of bhakti working, about the Vaishnavas, like that. So these are the three categories of people. Agyascha, Ashraddhadanascha, Samshayatma, Nishti. So Ashraddhadana, they don't have any access. So one who has Shraddha, one who has received that seed of faith, he is qualified to go through this. So therefore, humanity here refers to Shraddhavanjan. Yeah, Shraddhavanjan. Because at the outset only he starts the book by defining Uttama Bhakti. So one who is not qualified for Uttama Bhakti, the book is not for them. It's not for them. So only one who has received that seed of faith for pure devotional service, he is qualified. Others, no.
How about those three who are not most?
Agya are the easiest. You never know actually. It neither depends on Agya or Ashraddhadana or Samshayatma. Because it all boils down to who has more Sukruti. Samshayatmana. Because bhakti ka seed mil gaya usko, but uske prati wo cynical ho gaya. So he is a very difficult case actually. Such a person is a very difficult case. But still, it depends on if they are fortunate enough to have some.
Nothing can be said.
Yeah, you can't say. It depends on their fortune. If they have good association, loving, benevolent association, unko they will. Ajao, ajao. Chalega, baith ke prasad de lo. Chalega, kuch problem. So. Nay, from the substrate point of view, yes, but from fortune point of view, if they have good association, they can also. Okay. So in this way he glorifies Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Huh? Oh, there are no fortune tellers. There is no. Unfortunately, the one's astrological chart cannot predict when in that person's life a devotee will come and change his life. An astrological chart cannot predict that. Ek aur bar sunenge. Ho sakta hai. Maybe some aspect it may. पता नहीं वो on what basis they predict. Maybe they must be seeing more than what karma predicts also. See, that's what now we were discussing yesterday. See, there are five causes of success. Oh, board nikalo na. Isme already kuch likh ke rakha hai, idhar de do. But I will use this portion, bottom portion of the board. नहीं
तो उसके ही रहते हैं।
हाँ सो देर आर फाइव कॉसेस ऑफ सक्सेस, अधिष्ठानम तथा कर्ता, करणम चेष्टा, दैवम। So five causes of success. Adhishtanam means place where you perform or your body, gross body. Karta is the doer endowed with this swabhava and everything. Karanam are the senses, certain senses, how you are sensually endowed to accomplish that particular task. For this cheshta, so for the time being, let us just forget these three. Okay, cheshta means endeavor, daivam means karma, destiny. So now these five causes are not 20-20% causes, 1/5. In a particular event, these come with different weightages. Like we have a weighted mean. So forget about the three. Let's say two, cheshta and daivam. In a particular situation, the cheshta is effort, and daivam is karma, destiny. So इसमें चेष्टा का वेटेज क्या है और डेस्टिनी का वेटेज क्या है किसी को पता नहीं. सो योर एफर्ट नीड नॉट ट्रांसलेट इनटू अ करस्पॉन्डिंग सक्सेस. सो इफ यू आर बेसिकली फाइटिंग अगेंस्ट अ वॉल, 99% इज कंट्रोल्ड बाय अनफेवरेबल डेस्टिनी. सो यू मे पुट 200% एफर्ट, but the chance of success is very poor, very minimal. Or you could be doing something where you are 100% destined to get it. So sometimes you may not endeavor also and you will get it. So in some case, everything depends on your endeavor. You endeavor and you will get it, and the success will be in proportion to your endeavor. Which means there the effect of daiva is minimal or very little. So the problem is you don't have the prior understanding of that. What is the weightage of my endeavor in this particular situation? So in one sense it is like, you know, your eyes are bound and you are left in a dark room. So it's like a Russian roulette. Russian roulette means like, you know, there is a one bullet in a, what do you call this, revolver, and pass it on. Which is going, who is going to shoot whom, you don't know. So no one knows. They put it and then, you know, they rotate that this thing. And kidhar se bullet aayega pata nahi. So it is like that. That is how we should understand the seva hetoh prayateto kovito. Even though they seem to indicate that everything is predestined, the point is actually everything is not completely predestined. There is a lot depends on your cheshta also. Otherwise, Bhagavad Gita will not talk about these five causes of success. But everything is seemingly predestined in the sense that there is no guarantee for your cheshta that it will necessarily produce a successful result. Therefore,
it may
not. Eventuality is not confirmed. at least in those cases which are like black and white, hit or miss, pass or fail things, you know, your cheshta may sort of come to the borderline but still fail, even though you might have put a lot of effort. So therefore, these verses in Bhagavatam indicate that put your cheshta in a direction where it will give sure shot result. Tallabhyate dukkava danyata sukam kalena sarvatra gabira ramhasa. Therefore, tasyaiva hetoho prayateta kovido. Therefore, an intelligent person puts his endeavor in a direction which is guaranteed to give result. That is the direction of bhakti. So, in bhakti also, cheshta does not necessarily guarantee success, because instead of destiny, we have the mercy of Krishna that acts as a factor. But the difference is, here cheshta does not influence one's destiny in that particular situation. Whereas in the case of bhakti, one's sincere endeavor attracts mercy. So these two are connected causes. These two are not independent. The more the cheshta, the more the mercy also. So, so therefore, in one sense, if you see, everything depends on cheshta. Because if you do it in the right mood, your cheshta can attract all the mercy and you will get success.
That's why it emphasizes.
Yeah. So therefore he says, invest in a bank or mutual fund or whatever, which is going to sure shot give you success. So that is why, that is what is bhakti. But why are we discussing this?
We were discussing because there was a point that astrological chart has actually predicted that.
So in an astrological chart, what it can say is, sometimes he will say, Prabhuji, aap shaadi mat karo, kuch chance nahi, which means karma is having 100% weightage, and that 100% weightage karma says your marriage is not going to survive. Are you saying? Don't go in that direction. In other cases, he may say, Prabhuji, aap shaadi karenge na, aapko bohat effort dalna padega to save your marriage. Which means 70% unfavorable destiny says marriage will fail, but 30% weightage is for the cheshta. He says, you may get married, but you have to really fight against the odds to save that marriage. Like that. So, in some cases, he may say, aapka shaadi ho bhi sakta hai. To matlab kya hai? 50% cheshta, 50% daiva. Daiva says, shaadi hai. And cheshta, if you endeavor to not get married, because the weightage is equal weightage, so if your cheshta is good, you may fight against the odds to avoid marriage also. So yaad hai aapka wo isme, he was telling certain things ho bhi sakta hai nahi bhi sakta hai, certain things karo hi mat. So, certain things can be predicted, and he may give some directions based on the weightage of that particular karma or cheshta. But in the case of bhakti, in one sense, if you see, everything depends on cheshta, because cheshta is not an independent cause. It has the ability to affect the mercy factor, which is now replacing the daiva or destiny.
So, how does a normal person who is working for his material life get motivated to work towards something? Is it just some how is he motivated to do something? Because then it would be like, you know, the downward effect in whatever proportions one doesn't know.
Yeah.
So wouldn't he actually become, you know, despondent in the, I have no idea how much my efforts are going to lead to a success.
That is why Bhagavatam says, Kovido. A normal person will not even inquire in this direction. He needs some level of Shraddha to even believe in the scriptures which talk about karma, law of karma. So if he believes that, then he will start doing some prayaschitta to counteract the unfavorable karma which may act as obstacle. But wo karke karke ek time pe pak jayega. बोला कि पूछेगा कि यार इतना में प्रायश्चित करके इतना ही रिजल्ट आ रहा है, बेटर आई स्टार्ट एमिंग फॉर सम बेटर रिजल्ट. सो दैट टाइम ही विल स्टार्ट एमिंग फॉर लिबरेशन, देन ही विल स्टार्ट प्रैक्टिसिंग निष्काम कर्मयोग लाइक दैट. इन दैट वे इट इज मेंट टू ग्रेजुअली एलिवेट हिम. Yajna.
And the results from yajna. Even the effort taken in the yajna may not actually lead to fruition because of various other factors and karma dialogue also important.
See, this is when a particular kamya karma is performed, like putra kameshti yajna or something like that. So those kind of yajnas, there is a even there, you know, Daiva could play a role, because it could, if there is a heavy Daiva against it, then while you are accumulating the ingredients or wealth to perform that yajna, you may face some setbacks, health setbacks and things like that. Well, that could have an effect. In that case, Daiva was so heavily against. Yeah, correct. Aapka nahi hai. So, Chitraketu Maharaj was an example of, you know this sharing. Don Quixote bolke ek. Huh? Quixote. Yeah, actually. It's a Spanish folklore where this fellow Don Quixote goes and starts fighting with a windmill. So he may fight with a windmill, or we may be fighting with a mountain of unfavorable karma. Like, you don't know whether you are going to push a what do you call, a cotton stuffed scarecrow, or you are going to push a strong wall. You know what is in front of you, you do not know. Sometimes you aisa aap touch karne se pehle wo gir gaya. Sometimes you are like with the full army, you are attacking and then you are just hurting yourself. So in one sense, you don't know. And astrological charts to some extent can predict that.
This is one of those interesting ideas which I came across when I started hearing this one lectures. There was this seminar for 7 days. One thing that was said, every, you know, Bollywood star that shines, and the amount of pretty goods, there are several other struggles who have not made it. They have struggled more than the world who has achieved.
Correct.
So there, so before this, the whole idea that was actually taught to us was, you work for this and you will get it. Whereas this particular it was first time actually I understood very when they told it that you work for it and you get it. So there was like in the lecture it was there would be a place of it. So not exactly the word was used, but it was said that not everybody who is putting the same amount of effort is working the
same business. Correct.
Yeah.
Such a fact. So,
only thing required is work from home learners.
Yeah.
If we sleeping by my endeavor, I will be getting
that is not the right mode. No? So, like they say, work as if everything depends on your effort and pray as if everything depends on mercy. So that is the right mode. We pray and we firmly believe that it is due to mercy, but at the same time we work as if everything depends on our endeavor. So like that. We are doing it to attract the mercy. So there is no contradiction there. Ultimately it's mercy only.
The whole effort is just to attract the mercy.
Yeah. So, with that prelude, let's start the first discussion that Srila Vishnachakra Thakur brings here. That he is first going to explain what is the highest understanding of absolute truth. So, for which he starts exploring the Taittiriya Upanishad, which is a very popular Upanishad, and there are many popular conclusions which are sometimes misunderstood from Taittiriya Upanishad, and he is going to present to us the right understanding. Yeah. No, they are there. The Shruti Taittiriya Upanishad, after explaining the different coverings of consciousness, you know, Panchakosh, Annamaya, Pranamaya, Jnanamaya, Vijnanamaya and Anandamaya, concludes Brahmapuccham Pratishta. Brahmapuccham Pratishta means Brahman, the shelter or support of everything, is supreme. So it may seem to indicate like that. This statement would seem to establish Brahman, the shelter of everything, as superior to the Anandamaya Purusha. But then the same scriptures little later says rasovai saha rasamhi evayam labdva anandi bhavati. The Lord is rasa itself. He doesn't say the Lord is rasamaya or like that. Rasamhi eva ayam labdva anandi bhavati. And after attaining this rasa personified, which is the supreme Lord, the living entity becomes very blissful. So this statement shows that the Lord in his form as rasa incarnate is supreme. So actually this is a later statement in Taittiriya Upanishad. So how do we, so this is the Shruti. What does the Smriti, Srimad Bhagavatam, say? He quotes a verse from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, famous verse, Taittiriya Upanishad. And then he quoted, yeah, that is same Taittiriya Upanishad. Same Taittiriya Upanishad. Later he says, that is, yeah, same point is mentioned, different shloka. Akila Rasamrita Murtihi, he says. This says Raso Vaisaha. Same thing, meaning is same. So he quotes this verse from the 10th canto where Krishna and Balram are entering into the wrestling arena of Kamsa. Mallanam ashanirnam naravaro strinam smaro murtiman gopanam swajano satam shitibujam shasta swapitro shishu mrityur bojapater virada vidusham tatvam param yoginam vrishninam paradevateti vidito rangam gatasakrajah. So he says that Krishna is Akhila Rasamrita Murti. So now which are the rasas which are indicated. There are 5 primary rasas and 7 secondary rasas, 12 rasas in total. So how these 12 rasas are indicated in this particular verse, we are going to see, just to understand how the highest understanding of absolute truth is akhila rasamrita murti. Okay, mallanam ashanir, what is the meaning? What is the meaning? The restless swam as lightning bolt or thunderbolt. Which rasa? मैं एक्शन करता हूं कौन सा रसा बताओ वीर्यरस नृणाम नरवर मीनिंग कॉमन पीपल सॉ हिम एज द बेस्ट अमंग्स मेल्स विच रसा हाँ Yes. No such rasa called Aishwarya, but you are translated into English. How do you feel when you see, when a cricket freak sees Sachin Tendulkar on the road? Wonder. It would be wondrous. Vismayaras. Strinam Smaro Murtiman. Madhurya. The ladies saw him as Cupid personified. Gopanam Swajano. Gopanam Swajano means what? The cowherd boys saw him as one amongst themselves. This is which rasa? Sakya and Hasya. Because these are compatible rasas. Sakya. Edra. Like that. And asatam kshitibujam shasta means, asatam means impious, kshitibujam means kings. Kshiti means earth, bujam means hands. Kshatriyas are called the hands. So asatam kshitibujam shasta, sabke liye sweet aaya hai, aap le sakte hain. Kshiti means earth, bujam means hands. Asatam kshitibujam shasta means punisher or chastiser. So the impious king saw him as chastiser. So which rasa is this? Raudra rasa. Okay. Swapitaroho shishuhu. Which rasa? Vatsalya and Karuna rasa. Okay. Mrityur Bhojapate. Who is Bhoji? Bhojapati? Kamsa saw him as death personified. Which rasa is this? Bhayanak rasa. Virad Abhidusham. Abhidusham means foolish people. Vidusha. Intelligent. Abhidusham, foolish people saw him as Virat Root. Which rasa? When Arjuna saw Virat Root, how did he feel? Vismaya. No? Vibhatsa, fearful. Tattvam Param Yoginam. The yogi saw him as absolute truth. Which rasa? Shanta rasa. Vrishni naam paradevata. The demigod, the Vrishni saw him as the most worshipable deity. Which rasa? Eki rasa bachaya. Dasya. So, in this way, two of you came little late. Quick recap. Little late, nahi. We just have. Anyway, so we have just started this book. We saw two Mangalacharan, where he glorifies the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the unique contribution of Rupa Goswami. Okay. And after the Mangalacharan, we started with this previous slide where Srila Vishwanathacharya Thakur is starting to explore what is the highest understanding of absolute truth. So anyway, a very quick note about what this book is. This book is an explanation of two verses of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Adav Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha Ata Bhajana Kriya Anartana Vritti Syat and so on. So that which talks about these nine stages. Bhagavatam does not explicitly talk about it. The Acharyas have. So explicitly these. But explicitly these terminologies are not used. So this book talks about so Madhurya Kadambini means a cloud bank of nectar. Just a cloud bank gives showers of rains here and there. So this cloud bank of nectar is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. So, and it gives rain showers at different places. Here it is nectar shower. So, this book is divided into 8 chapters which are called Pratama Amrita Vrishti, Dvitiya Amrita Vrishti. Amrita Vrishti means nectar shower. So, the first chapter talks about the super excellence of bhakti over all the other paths. The second chapter talks about Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, and Bhajana Kriya. In the third chapter talks about Anartana Vritti. The fourth talks about Nishta. Fifth talks about Ruchi. Sixth talks about Asakti. Seventh about Bhava. And eighth about Prema. So in this way, these 8 chapters are divided. So this book gives very practical tools of self-evaluation. Where are we? What do we have to do to go to the next stage? What can we expect while we are progressing in devotional service? Or what do we have to do to progress to the next stage of devotional service? And what are the milestones that I have to look for when I'm going, when I'm on this path of devotional service? Very practical book. This is the first in the series of 3 small books written by Srila Vishwanathacharya Thakur, the Bhakti Trilogy. The first book is Madhurya Kadambini. The second book is Raga Vartma Chandrika, which explains the path of Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. And the third book is Bhagavatamrita Kana, which talks about the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam in a nutshell. Essence of Srimad Bhagavatam in a nutshell. So that is a third book. So hopefully after Madhurya Kadambini we will do Raghavartma Chandrika, and then third Bhagavatamrita Kana we will do all. Raga Vartma Chandrika. Raga, the Vartma is the path. Chandrika is the moon. The moon that illuminates the path of Raganuga Bhakti. That is Narottam Das Thakur's bhajan.
So, yeah.
Bhanu Swami Maharaj is also translated. Many translators are there. So, after giving this initial. So, that's about the book. And after the Mangalacharan, Srila Vishwanathacharya Thakur is now exploring what is the highest understanding of absolute truth. So he quotes from Taittiriya Upanishad. This is the beginning of this book. He says, Taittiriya Upanishad in its very famous verse talks about Brahma Puccham Pratishta, indicating that the Brahman is the support or shelter of everything, is the highest understanding of absolute truth. It may seem like that from this verse. But later the very same Taittiriya Upanishad says, Rasovai Saha, that Brahman is Rasa incarnate. rasam hi evayam labdva anandi bhavati. And when the jiva comes in touch with that personality who is rasa incarnate, he becomes very happy. The jiva becomes very happy. So in this way, it establishes, even Shruti establishes the highest understanding of the absolute truth to be Akhila Rasamrita Murti, the personification of all rasas. And then he quotes a verse from Bhagavatam, the very famous verse of Krishna and Balram entering the wrestling arena of Kamsa, Mallana Mashanir. And that's what we were doing. We were trying to understand how in this verse all these 12 rasas are experienced by various personalities who are taking darshan of Krishna in that wrestling arena. Okay, so this is where we were. That's the quick recap for all of you. So in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord Himself asserts His identity. He says, Brahmanohi Pratishta Aham. I am the basis of Brahman, He says. Therefore, the absolute truth, the blissful transcendental supreme person, is none other than Shri Krishna, the son of the king of Vraja. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanaya. So Vrajesha is whom? Nanda Maharaj. So even Vraja itself is a small village, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not even the head of that village. He is the son of the head of that village, Vrajesha Tanaya, which indicating that our worship is in the mood of sweetness. Tad Dhama Vrindavanam, and his abode is Vrindavan. Like that. Who has an unlimited body featuring all auspicious transcendental names, forms, qualities and pastimes. This blissful Lord descends to human perception of the ear, eye, mind and intellect not by any material cause but simply by His own independent will, just as by his own will He appeared in the material world as Krishna in the Yadu dynasty and Rama in the Raghu dynasty. So even though sometimes it may seem that there is a material cause for Krishna's descent, like Kunti Maharani in her prayer, she explores various causes. She says that Bharavataranaya anye bhuvo nava ivodatau sidantya bhuri bharena jatohi atma bhuvartita. She says, bhuvo nava ivodatau. What was the starting of this verse? Bharavataranaya anye bhuvo nava ivodatau. When this earth was sinking due to the sinful people populating it, Sidantya, when she was sinking, then Atmabhu, Brahmaji, went to the Shir Sagar and offered prayers. And as a result of those prayers, Krishna appeared. So it seems like there is a material cause for appearance of Krishna. So, but still one should understand that it is only an external thing. Krishna's appearance is solely due to His independent will. Okay. So, similarly, just as the Lord is not dependent on any material cause for His appearance, similarly, His non-different energy, which is devotional service, is also not dependent on any material cause or hetu. So now, I want you to just take a look at, before the class started, I just wrote this down. Okay. So, in this section, he is going to describe or evaluate and understand how does one get bhakti. Okay. So, whenever the Shastras talk about bhakti, the word Yadrchaya comes. Yadrchaya matkatadav jata shaddostu yah kumana nargunno nati sakto bhakti yoga se siddhida. And so on. Many places the word Yadrchaya comes. Yadrchaya matkatadav mat bhaktim Yadrchaya. Yadrchaya eva upachita. Something like that. So wherever the word yadrich bhakti, appearance of bhakti comes, the word yadrichaya comes. So you have to account for it in trying to understand how bhakti comes. Then, whenever bhakti comes, the word ahaituki also comes. So you, Ahaituki means, we will see what it means. We will see what it means. So this has to be accounted for. And also, we see that only some people get bhakti while others do not get bhakti. This is pratyaksha. So you have to account for these two shabda praman and you have to account for this pratyaksha praman. How is it? Why is it that only some people get bhakti and some people don't get bhakti? So in order to properly understand how one gets bhakti, you have to account for all these three things.
So these three things are collection of Krishna. But this is a university. But some other author can be used for other terms and can be defined based on that.
No, at least whenever Bhagavatam talks about appearance of bhakti, ahaituki apratihata yayatma suprasidati. So the word ahaituki comes, yadrichaya comes. So he says that these things have to be accounted for. Okay. So we are going to take these three parameters and see what explanation would best fit or fulfill all these three criteria, or that which fulfills all these three criteria is the cause of bhakti. Okay. So now first let's try to understand the meaning of these three. No, when the nature of bhakti is mentioned to be ahaituki. Ahaituki apratihata yayatma suprasidati. So we have to see what is the meaning of that. So let's first take, we are going to now just take the dictionary meanings. Okay. For yadrichaya. So yadrichaya has two shades of meanings. Yadrichaya means Yadrichaya jopapannam swargadwaram apavritam sukina kshatriya partha labante yuddham idrisham. Like that Krishna tells Arjuna. So there the word Yadrichaya means on its own or by chance. So by chance is one meaning. Or Yadrichaya also means yad ichaya, by someone's independent will, icha. So in this way it has two shades of meanings. One meaning being chance and another meaning being independent will. Okay. So this is the meaning of Yadrichaya. Don't look here, we will get back to this little later. Ahaituki, one understanding is causeless, no hetu. But a more appropriate meaning of ahaituki would mean self-causative rather than causeless. Okay. So self-causative means bhakti causes bhakti. We say bhaktya sanjataya bhaktya. So there you can't strictly call it causeless because there is a cause. Okay. So a more appropriate meaning of ahaituki would be self-causative. It has no other cause other than itself.
So why when causeless?
Yeah, you can call it causeless also, but it has to be understood in the right sense. So if you say that bhakti causes bhakti, in the strictest sense, you cannot call it. You can't strictly call it causeless because there is a cause you are attributing. for the appearance of Bhakti. So like that. So now we are going to take explore one option and see what gives. So let's take the first meaning of Yadrichaya, which is luck, chance. So how does one get bhakti? Yadrichaya, by chance. Fine, agreed. So one person is getting, another person is not getting. So why is one person not getting, another person, one person getting, another person not getting? So I told you, no, luck. So then the question is, what caused that luck? Why is he lucky and why is he not lucky? Sacha. Oh, this person, he is a very pious person. This person is not a very pious person. So piety is the cause of that luck. Okay, no problem. So Yadrichaya is fine. You have given a plausible explanation for why do some people get, why do some people do not get. But Ahaituki, you seem to attribute the Ahaituki nature is not fulfilled because piety becomes the cause of bhakti. So therefore it is not Ahaituki. That is also coming here. So the here he is telling, if piety, if you attribute piety to be the cause of luck, then it is not right. Or any other thing like piety or impiety. Oh, this person was more impious. The gentleman of United States did not get bhakti, but the hippies got. So what was their qualification? Impiety. So impiety is the cause of bhakti. No, Ahaituki is compromised. Now, one may say, अरे लक मतलब लक है, लक का भी कुछ कॉज पूछते हैं क्या? यू आर लकी बोलते हैं. इफ यू आर लकी मीन्स नो वन हैज, व्हाई एम आई लकी, व्हाई समवन एल्स इज नॉट लकी. लक मीन्स लक, कॉजलेस लक. दैट इज द सेकंड पॉइंट दैट इज, यू कैन से कॉजलेस लक, दैट इज द कॉज. सो यदृच्छया इज फुलफिल्ड, करेक्ट. Now the question is, so you are explaining why do some people get, why do some people don't get. He is lucky, he is not lucky, don't ask any questions because luck means luck. So now if that is the case, you see in scriptures like Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Nachatasman manushyeshu kaschin me priyakrittama. Of all the people, the person who is most dear to me is one who preaches this message. So there is so much emphasis to given to preaching the message of devotional service. So if you take Yadrichaya to mean causeless luck, so then whether you preach or not, if he has that luck, he is going to get. And whether you preach or not, if he is not lucky, he is not going to get. So therefore there is no point in preaching.
It gives a sense that there is no control.
No control. So he says that therefore this cannot be a cause. So therefore chance is ruled out. Let's take the second meaning, independent will. So if Yadrichaya means independent will, then the natural question is, whose independent will? Whose independent will? The natural answer is Krishna's independent will. Okay. So if it is Krishna's independent will, okay, Yadrichaya is fulfilled. Okay. Now, the fact is some people get it, some people don't get it. So which means Krishna independently chose to give bhakti to someone and chose not to give bhakti to someone else, which means he is partial, right? Or whimsical, still worse. But Krishna clearly says, Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshyosti na priya ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya mayi te teshu chapya. He says that I am equal to all. I am little partial to my devotees. But here we are not talking about devotees. Here we are talking about non-devotees. Because both have not received bhakti yet. And one person is getting. Another person is not getting. So Krishna can't be partial to those who are non-devotees. Or at least he says, I am not partial. Therefore, if someone gets, someone does not get, then Krishna will be accused of being partial. Which is not true. So therefore, Krishna's independent will cannot be the cause. Now the fourth possibility is, what about devotee's independent will? If you say devotee's independent will, then you hit the wall again. Why is the devotee partial? Why is he giving it to someone? Why is he not giving it to someone? So now, the case of Krishna being partial and devotee being partial, are these the same cases? Are these two entities, Krishna and devotee, same? If you see, a devotee is not omnipotent. Whereas Krishna is omnipotent. If he wants, in a moment he can make everyone into a devotee. Whereas a devotee, especially a madhyamadhikari who is engaged in the act of preaching, he is not an omnipotent personality. He is an empowered personality, but not omnipotent personality like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has limited skills, limited time, limited energy, limited resources, but unlimited desires to preach and reach out to people. So he would naturally see that with all this skill, effort, resources, time and energy, I will have to get the maximum benefit. So what will I do? I will engage it in a way where I can get maximum benefit. If someone tells me, why don't you start village preaching in Maharashtra? That's an option if you have. So I'll say no. Like Radha Gopinath Prabhu I had met the last time ACM was there. We were having a discussion about preaching. So he was telling, why don't you, I am thinking of starting some other services. So I have been conducting a devotee program in Mira Road. So all devotees come. So why don't you take over? I said, no, Prabhuji. He said, why? I said, Prabhuji, I don't want to give general nourishment programs. There are so many people who can do that. But I have a more specific skill set and an inclination. And I see a particular direction in which I can be more productive and competent. So he said, okay, so what are you looking for? What kind of audience are you looking for? I said, Prabhuji, at least Bhakti Shastri passed and having a strong desire to understand our Shastras nicely and maybe even have an inclination to share it with others, teach it to others, that kind of audience I'm looking for. He said, whoa. Then he said, okay, let's bargain. 16 rounders. Is that okay? I said, no. So, he said, why? You know, you will get so many 16 rounders. I said, I am not looking for so many people, Prabhuji. I am looking for only few people. You know, who can potentially in near future or late future actually share it with others, and help them out. And who have a deep interest of understanding our Shastras, right? In a systematic way. So that's where I see that I can more effectively contribute. So I don't want to do general programs, I want to do specific programs. So, of course, if I had unlimited bandwidth, unlimited this thing, I would have accepted unlimited time. How many hours a day you want? 24, 48, 64? If someone would ask, if that option is there, then okay. But there are only so much time, so much energy, so much skill set. So you want to maximize your productivity with that, which is natural. That is why Krishna tells to Uddhava in Uddhava Gita, Ishware tadadineshu balisheshu dishashtutra prema maitri kripa upeksha yakvaroti sa madhyama. So madhyamadhikari, what he does, Ishware prema tadadineshu maitri, to other devotees, friend, balisheshu kripa, to innocent people, he tries to be more compassionate. And dvishatsu upeksha, for those who are dveshis, he actually neglects them. So, like that, so he has to do that, because otherwise he will be wasting his time. He can't be productive. When a madhyamadhikari is choosing a particular audience to deliver the mercy of Krishna, he cannot be actually accused of being partial. Because that is not due to partiality, that is more due to practicality. You know, practically he can reach out to only so many. He has his reasons. So it is definitely not partiality. So therefore, he is not whimsical. Don't term pious, you can term receptive. I am okay with that. Because different, if pious people would be receptive, then when Prabhupada went to the United States, the pious people are not actually very receptive. Okay, go ahead. No. It might only from an external point of view seem like that, but in actuality, piety creates its own obstacles, which is called as sukrutotta anarthas. Sukruti or piety. So, it all depends on packaging. How do you package it in a way that is attractive to someone? But we all have limited packaging skills. I cannot package to Maharashtrian villagers. You cannot package to maybe villagers in Tamil Nadu. Probably you may also be capable. So we were trying out in our United States, Penn State Vedic Society. We were ISKCON only. We were like some 10-12 Indians all. Most were South Indians only actually. So who were there? We tried our best to do some Western preaching. Nothing happened. No one came.
And then
Yuval Kishore Prabhu came later. He was not guiding over. Ours was more guided by Isolna Srompak Swami Maharaj. So then later one devotee couple came. Okay. Who are Westerners. 1, 2, 3, 4. Suddenly they were attracting Western crowd. Because Western sensitivity is there. Oh, thank you very much. So Western sensitivity is there. So they could package it very nicely for the Western crowd. Okay. So, and another case, if you see, so therefore it in one sense boils down to Western, in one sense boils down to packaging actually. If you can, if there is a compatibility between whom you are trying to reach and what they are expecting, what you are trying to give and what the recipient is expecting, then there is a good match. Then you can be effective. Like for example, I remember when we were in college, in our second year, one devotee came, took us to a home program where one grihastha's couple, they were elderly grihastha couple, they were leading that program. So I went, it was very, see, I had lived in hostel from a very young age, from my school days. So they were like very, parental affection was very strong. They were just like, they were almost at my parents' age only. And they would act in a very nice way to me. Never asked me to chant or anything. And very homely South Indian prasadam. So I used to go there, eat nice, because mess food was horrible. So weekly once I used to go there, honor prasadam, and you know, they would be very kind to me. But except for me, no one else got really interested in those kind of programs. I used to just go, not for chanting or anything, but I used to like bhajans, kirtans, music, and prasadam, and then get to spend some time with those devotees. But I never took up the chanting or anything. Then after some time, another group came, who are like expert youth preachers. So all these people who never had any interest in attending this home program, they all became super interested in attending that program, youth program. ISKCON youth preachers. And people became very serious very fast. So now both were ISKCON programs only, but with different packaging. Here there was hardcore philosophy. Bang, 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 bang. And one small Sukhadi prasadam or Sukhadi type. And not much, you know, that parental affection towards a young person. ऐसा था इधर के लिए ये सब दीज अदर डिवोटीज अदर पीपल न्यू अबाउट अदर स्टूडेंट्स न्यू अबाउट दीज प्रोग्राम्स ऑल्सो दिस होम प्रोग्राम दे केम बट नेवर गॉट इंटरेस्टेड इन दिस प्रोग्राम दे गॉट वेरी इंटरेस्टेड एंड एट सम पॉइंट दिस यूथ प्रीचर केम एंड टोल्ड यू लुक यू टेक केयर ऑफ द गृहस्थस एंड वी हैव बीन ट्रेन नाइसली टू टेक केयर ऑफ कॉलेज youth. So we will take care. So I had to go there, but somehow I could never relate to them at all. So eventually my Krishna consciousness ended there, only to get reconnected after 6 years. So in thousands of miles apart, United States. So the point is, it's only a question of packaging. So therefore, it is not wrong to say that bhakti is caused due to the independent will of the devotee. So now, if you see, yadrichaya is fulfilled. Okay, independent will of the devotee. And why do some people get, some people don't get? No problem with partiality. It is just a case of getting maximum mileage out of the available resources, time and skill set. But now we have to explore whether Ahaituki is fulfilled or not. Because if the will of the devotee becomes the cause of bhakti, then that is not Ahaituki. Okay, so then we have to see what causes the will of the devotee. Why is he willing to go and share Krishna consciousness with others? What is inspiring his will? If you see that, it is what? Compassion. Compassion is inspiring. But what is the cause of that compassion? How did he become compassionate? Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavat yakinchana sarvair gunais tatra samasade sura. So because of bhakti, he became compassionate. So bhakti created that compassion. Compassion created that desire to preach. And because of that, he reached out to that person. So in essence, if you trace out, actually it is bhakti in his heart which has caused the bhakti in the receiver's heart. So therefore, the self-causative nature of bhakti is also not violated. So the self-causative nature of bhakti is also taken care. So in this way, yadrichaya is fulfilled, ahaituki is fulfilled, and you can also reasonably explain why some people do get bhakti while some people don't get bhakti. But there is one problem here still. If it is the independent will of the devotee, then that would create the problem of the devotee acting independent of the will of Krishna. Isn't it? So how can the, does a devotee act independent of the will of Krishna? What do you think? As per the will of Krishna. Does he act independent of the will of Krishna? But will for Krishna means it is not independent of the will of Krishna. No? Does a devotee act independent of the will of Krishna?
Free will is there.
Free will is there.
So within the realm
but,
of bhakti or in terms of delivering bhakti to others, he is under the
So then, if that is the case, then it's ultimately not his will. It's ultimately Krishna's will only. So then again we get into the problem of Krishna being partial, because only some people are getting, some people are not getting. Right? If Krishna is influencing the will of the devotee to give it to some people and not give it to some people, and the devotee is acting under the will of Krishna, then ultimately it is Krishna's will.
Krishna's will is to give devotional service to others. Devotee does that, but devotee then this Manyavali Kari will see who is the donor. That is in favor. He is favorable, then he will be.
Correct. So, the point is, yes, ultimately it is Krishna's will to distribute bhakti. But Krishna voluntarily surrenders the distribution rights to devotees. He has outsourced the distribution rights to devotees. So it is my mercy that will be distributed. But whom to distribute, you decide. Whomever you choose, I will let my mercy flow. That is how Guru Krishna Prasadepai Bhakti Lata Beach. So Guru's prasad or Guru's mercy comes through, or Krishna's mercy comes through that which is shared, bhakti. Bhakti is Krishna's mercy, but the choice of the person, the means through which it comes is Guru's mercy, the Vaishnava's mercy. So the devotee cannot be accused of acting independent of the will of the Lord because the Lord has voluntarily surrendered that will to the devotee. So in that sense, there is no problem in attributing the cause of bhakti to be the association of devotees or the independent will of the devotee. So that is what he is describing in this section. So now we will read quickly. The devotee is not partial. That we discussed. No? So because the devotee has limited time, limited energy, limited resources, so he has to maximize his productivity with these limited things. So he chooses whom to approach. Oh, that is a different discussion.
The devotee does not choose. Somebody comes without wishing.
Huh? If somebody comes, okay. He sees good temple. Who constructed the good temple?
The person has
devotees. No? So the temple has been constructed by a devotee only, no? So devotee's mercy is there. There may not have been a conscious effort to preach to that devotee, but the temple itself was constructed to attract people only to the lotus feet of the lordships. So the devotee's mercy is there.
Here the independent will part will not come into
it. Why? The devotee utilized his independent will to construct the temple to attract people. No?
Independent will has become even more prominent in the sense, and impartiality has become more prominent.
Impartiality has become more prominent. Everyone is allowed into the temple.
Then you consider an independent
will. Yeah, independent will of a devotee or a group of devotees. You can take devotee as a person or devotee as a class. A class of devotees decided to construct a temple. They constructed independent will of the devotee. The ability to construct is Krishna's mercy. But the free will to construct is the devotee's free will only. No? Right?
This actually makes, through the explanation, every devotee is by default made into a bhakti salesman.
Bhakti salesman, yeah. We all are in the marketing department, either through words or through actions or through our just existence.
Because the causation of bhakti, this devotee itself is one of the factors.
Yeah, correct. That's okay. So which means in that case, so through the previous devotees he got it. But so how does that bhakti work? That devotee association works. Srila Vishnu Acharya Thakur explains that we have Adav Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Navritti and so on. But Vishnachakri Thakur adds three more stages before Shraddha also. He says Mahat Seva, Mahat Kripa, Mahat Seva, and then comes Agyat Sukriti. And that Agyat Sukriti matures into Shraddha. Okay. Billo Mangal Thakur, what is the example of? See, even before meeting the prostitute, he had Somagiri as his guru. And then he got carried away by his conditionings. and eventually Chintamani acted further to revive course correction. So in his Mangalacharan, he glorifies Somagiri and Chintamani both. Second example. See, that Lala Babu also. See, unless someone had already heard and become convinced of bhakti, ordinary aap jao college mein jaake and you tell time is getting up bolke roj bolte raho for a group of people who are passing by, see how many people take up to bhakti. You think, oh, assignment hai, are party hai, main bhool gaya. So only because he must have received a strong samskara of bhakti, that is why when he heard that, he connected it. So
he
I will
must have already known the importance of bhakti, and otherwise just
saying it will not help. See, wo 24 gurus mein, wo 24 gurus ka section aata hai na. So in the 24 gurus, uska, if you see the, what is the prelude to it, end it here because we will not have time to discuss further. So in the 24 gurus thing, we may think that, oh, here Krishna is telling that, inspiring all of us to use our intelligence as our own guru, because that's how this whole thing starts. Krishna is leaving and he tells Uddhava, you stay back, I want you to stay back and go to, I have a special service for you to go to the Himalayas and convey the message to Naranarayan Rishis. But he says, oh, till now you are guiding me, but after you leave, who will guide me? So he says, Uddhava, you can trust your intelligence as your own guru. That's what he says. You can trust your intelligence as your own guru. But before he tells that, he says, Loka Tattva Vichakshana, those who are self-realized people, he says, they can use their intelligence as their own guru. Okay, self-realized. So then in that context, he gives the example of this Avadhut Brahmana, who sees at different points in his life 24 different things and learnt from it. He got reminded. So if you see his reflections, an ordinary man can never come to such conclusions unless he had already practiced bhakti in his life and achieved self-realization. So therefore, the purpose of that story, many times the stories or the pastimes don't give complete illumination to all the aspects, because there is a particular purpose of that particular pastime. Purposefully, in the case of Ajamil's pastime, Ajamil's past life is never discussed. Because specifically, because that pastime is meant to glorify the potency of the holy name. So therefore, Ajamil's past life is never touched in that whole description. So therefore, the point is, even though not all pastimes reveals all the details of that particular thing. In fact, Lala Babu's childhood ke bare mein wo story mein kuch batate hain kya? Lala Babu ka past life ke bare mein wo story mein kuch aata hai? Kuch nahi aata hai. So because the focus of that whole thing is how by practice of bhakti Lala Babu was able to give up his, because the focus of that whole pastime is how much to gain that final mercy, how much important it is to shed one's false ego. That was the focus of that story. So therefore, those details which are not necessary to establish that point are generally not given. So, therefore, we have to understand that this is the general course. But of course, there are some rare cases where Kripa Siddhi is there. Directly one may be given Kripa and directly one may be elevated to the stage of Bhava or Prema without any intervention of a devotee also. But generally, this is not the general course of things. Rare cases.
There is no explanation or anything to be discussed also in terms of
Kripa Siddhi. Yeah, you cannot discuss anything because Kripa means you can't ask any question. It is Kripa, mercy. Of course, bhakti itself is mercy only, but this is like a very special mercy. An example. Dhruva Maharaj is Kripa Siddhi. Because his practice was actually mixed devotional service. But what he went to perform the austerities for what purpose?
Abhinaya was pure, his prayer was not proper. Abhinaya was pure, that's why according to Abhinaya his prayer was
proper. No, that is not proper Siddhanta. If your prayojan is not pure, whatever prayojan you are aspiring for, that's what you will get. No. Even before that, he gave him prema. He gave him prema and said, you rule. So, therefore, Bhakti Rasa Samsundu clearly mentions Dhruva Maharaj to be a Kripa Siddha only. Okay. So, what was your question?
Dhruva Siddha
example. Dhruva Maharaj. So, therefore, if one's prayojan is impure, if the abhideya is pure, then he will very quickly get his mixed prayojan and his prayojan will not get automatically purified. Yeah, smaranam means what? He heard about the prayojan. He heard about the right prayojan, he heard about the right abhideya to achieve it, and he got the right sambandha gyan all within the womb of his mother.
So, what did he do? Chanting was the
abhideya. Chanting was the abhideya, smaranam was the abhideya, and his prayojan was.
No.
Prahlad Maharaj is not mentioned to be Kripa Siddhi. Okay, so we will pause here and next Sunday, yes, I am there. So next Sunday we will continue this discussion and hopefully see if we can try to complete the first chapter next Sunday. Srila Prabhupada, Manasikshanai Madhura Kadamini. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Vishnachakadakur ki, Madhurya Kadambini ki.